What is really going on, crypto savages? You are listening to the CoinSpice podcast with host C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief at CoinSpice.io, your home for spicy crypto things on the net.
What is really going on, crypto savages? This is your host, C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief out at CoinSpice.io, back with another episode of the CoinSpice podcast. It's the second, actually, in a two-part series with Bitcoin.com's Matt Aaron. He runs the podcast network over there. Shows like Blockchain 2025 with Blake Moore, Humans of Bitcoin, kind of that longer format type, and of course, This Week in Bitcoin. He is a terrific guy to kind of get a sense, especially if you're in the Bitcoin Cash community, of where things are and you know where they're headed. We talk in the first episode, which you can get out at CoinSpice.io just by clicking the podcast tab. That first episode, we talk about his background, how he came to things, and how he found the crypto community, which is, again, I really recommend you listen to. This time around, we're getting a little bit more philosophical. I put it to Matt, like, where does he see the crypto in general, but specifically BCH, Bitcoin Cash, and where does he see it going? So sit back, grab yourself that tall glass of almond milk. Again, if you're a vegan, I'm not judging you. I'm trying to be inclusive. Inclusivity is the watchword here. Sit back, relax. We get spicy. This gets spicy. But I think you're going to learn a lot, and you're really going to like it. Without any further ado, here is Bitcoin.com podcast network guru, Matt Aaron.
So in you know, in just a nice bite-sized chunk here, what are your thoughts going forward? Like, how do you see the space based on all that you've taken in and, you know, looking forward, say, in the next couple of years? What are your thoughts on the current and future state of crypto?
Sure. So because, you know, the more you know, the more you don't know, I'd say that all I do is I try to have a narrative, because people ask me all the time, what is Bitcoin? I just went on a podcast in Colombia and they asked me, you know, why is Bitcoin important for Colombia? And I'm getting there, but being able to put Bitcoin in context for the audience you're speaking to is important. And so I'm trying to, that's why I'm thinking and talking at the same time. My narrative changes every month with the more information I learn or the more I don't know. I'd say that I like Amara's law, that we tend to overestimate the effects of technology in the short run, but underestimate the effects in the long run. The person that introduced me to that is the man, Sterling Lujan, that I think whether you're Bitcoin Core, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, Republican, you gotta love Sterling, man. He's the man. But my thoughts going forward is, my narrative right now is that it's still an experiment. I think it has a good chance. I think cryptocurrencies, you know, if Bitcoin went down, you know, maybe that we'd have to wait a couple of years and we'd have to restart. I think cryptocurrencies will eventually overtake or at least be a big competitor to fiat money. And just having competition is great. Look what Uber's done to taxis. I cannot tell you which cryptocurrencies are going to win out. You talked in the beginning about you and I being competitors. I'll tell you one thing, man. It's been such a fun run and one of the most interesting things I've ever done in my life, or maybe the most interesting thing. But I realized that both of our jobs pretty much are dependent on Bitcoin Cash. And one hack, you know, one big problem or a series of problems, and if Bitcoin Cash, you know, I know something happens to it, right? I hope Bitcoin Cash crushes. Obviously, I hope cryptocurrencies crush in general. I'm not a Bitcoin Cash maximalist. I want other ones to succeed, and I want cryptocurrency to be useful as currency. But you know, it can be fragile, right? And we tend to in the fearful times to maybe overstate the fears and vice versa. So yeah, does that give you an idea of where we're at, where I think we are? I think we have a lot of work to do, man. I think that the infrastructure is still so low. You're the person who taught me this, and I've kind of, without even crediting you in marketing meetings, brought up, it's like, hey man, we have to make these products easier to use for you know, non-technical people. I think of moms, like shopping moms, and these Bitcoin.com law might look good to a tech person, but not to my mom. And that's important. You know, I think that needs to happen. And then I'll finish this off, man. What am I working on besides podcasting Bitcoin.com is Venezuela. So we are RTM, which is a very interesting company. They're an exchange that works in a lot of Latin American countries. They go to the dollar or they even connect to Venezuelan bank accounts, is going to do an airdrop of Bitcoin Cash on May 27th to 100,000 Venezuelans. So, you know, this is the project I'm leading. We're trying to get as many stores to accept Bitcoin Cash. So when those 100,000 people get Bitcoin Cash, hopefully they can start spending it and just kind of flipping the economy. I don't say flipping the economy, but maybe they can just stop using the Bolivar, which does not work, and start using cryptocurrencies. Because the hard truth, you have to face hard truths and crashes, right? You know, that's when companies cut down their employees, like you saw at Consensus and other companies, Bitmain,
Shapeshift,
and you say, you know, what are we doing? You know, and not like a, what am I doing, like a scare, but just like, what am I doing? And then some of the thesis I'm, another thesis I'm working on is if Bitcoin Cash and cryptocurrencies cannot be successful in Venezuela, a market that is underserved, it can't be successful anywhere. And so there's a little bit of fear there, because if this doesn't work, then it's like, well, they don't use it in Venezuela. How are they going to use it in the United States, where, like, politics aside, the dollar with PayPal and Venmo, you know, pretty much works, you know, and so that's, it's time to find out if this works. That's kind of my, my other thesis that I'm trying to operate on.
Yeah, we have a writer here, that goes by the name of Lynn Zerd, and he,
who I'm in touch with,
Cool. And, he is,
and sorry, for Coinspice, I just want to say one thing.
Yeah,
if you want to understand Venezuela, it's very complicated. I'm still a beginner there. I've only been there once a long time ago, and I don't consider myself an, I don't consider myself an expert, but Linzard wrote a 4-part piece on the Petro, which is their ridiculous national cryptocurrency by Maduro. Venezuelans aren't ridiculous, but the totalitarian administration of Maduro, the president, is ridiculous. And he covered it in 4 parts, you know, like over the course of the year. I highly recommend that. If you want to have an idea of what's happening in Venezuela, I think he did a fantastic job.
I totally agree with you. And, the publishers of CoinSpice, the two guys here, who sort of run things, they have a deep love for spreading Bitcoin, or in this case, Bitcoin Cash, peer-to-peer electronic money, to those who need it the most. And it's the reason that I came over here, to be honest with you. Obviously, I love the feistiness and the pirate ship aspect of it. But what really sold me on CoinSpice was the fact that these two guys have their bags packed. They are ready. They're supporting, you know, whether it's, you know, places in Africa, Southeast Asia, like the Philippines, or South America, like Venezuela. They get it, right? So, I do think that Venezuela definitely is ground zero for us. And the way I try to explain it to investors or people who reach out to me about, you know, whether you want to call them underserved markets or emerging markets or whatever. I like the Trumpian phrase, shithole. Whether however you see crypto, Venezuela is at a severe discount. It is at a severe discount. The government, you know, obviously the U.S. has helped with sanctions and so on, and there's a whole, you know, other story behind that, but has driven that economy into the ground. And if there's, you know, again, Venezuela's for sale. And I don't mean for sale in the naughty sense. I mean, there's a sale going on there. And right now, if you're in the crypto space and you're into the currency aspect of it, this is the place to be. You got to get in there. The Dash people are doing crazy great things there. Although it seems maybe that's a bit on the surface from some of the reports I've seen. That it doesn't go too deep, but that's not a knock at Dash. It's just, you know,
at least they're trying, right?
Exactly. They're in there. They're in the fight, right? And I have a lot of respect for that. And so that you are gonna venture down there in the business and information sense, I think is not only brave but prescient. I think you're very forward looking, and I think that is a fantastic idea. I can't say, you know, more good things about it. And the Venezuelan people, from my limited interaction with a handful of them, are incredibly brave, super, you know, enthusiastic, and they're survivors, man. So I think they're going to single-handedly, if I have a guess, prove crypto's use case.
I hope so. I really hope so. I don't know, but I hope so. I'll tell you one thing. So I know a lot of Venezuelans who are living in Colombia. I mean, there's probably a million Venezuelans in Colombia.
Right.
I met them around the world. So a couple of things that you may not realize if you have had the fortune of not having to be a refugee from a country or just having to leave. So most Venezuelans, many Venezuelans that have been lucky enough have left. But usually a lot of well-to-do Venezuelans, their kids might leave, but if you're 50 or 60, you don't want to start over. So they stay. So their parents stay, meaning that these younger Venezuelans in their 20s and 30s, they have to go start over. And it's pretty, we take things for granted, but all these Venezuelans have gone to Spain, to Panama, to Colombia, to U.S., all over the map, right? Wherever they can go, anywhere that's not Venezuela, Peru, Chile, Brazil, wherever, right? That have started over. I admire all of them that have been able to do that, because can't be easy to leave your family and start over in a new country. Your degree doesn't matter. You probably don't have much money because right. of the devaluation of the currency. Hence why we're into cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. And they go hand in hand, and I don't want to get too political here because I tend to go down that road. And no one needs to hear what I have to say about the subject, but I think there is a connection between some of the migration patterns of the world, whether it's because of U.S. foreign adventurism in Southwest Asia and Syrians and others kind of making their way to Europe, or in North America, South America, sort of the global South versus the global North. This is a historic time for cryptocurrency to make itself known. And they are intimately entwined with these stories of, people moving. This is very reminiscent of early 20th century U.S. Migration with regard to the Irish and some of the others. And you'll find that, we now live, I'm in the continental United States, and speaking as Americans, I guess, we live in a gated community, man. And if Trump has his way, it's literally going to be
a walled gated
right,
community.
Yeah, we live in a gated, for better or for worse, and I'm obviously totally against that. But what I'm saying is that we, I didn't do anything as much as I'm, a fantastic, brilliant, and incredibly handsome and humble guy. I didn't do anything to earn my spot here. I was sort of shat out, the DNA, I won the DNA lottery, so to speak, on this side of it. And so I, like you say, to start over, to come here, to really go anywhere other than your native country without, like you chose to kind of go down there, which again is a kind of luxury of being born where you're born.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. But these people are being, forced out through necessity, through whatever means. And this is where crypto comes in, because for some people in the United States, it's a hobby. And again, why I think CoinSpice is so important and Bitcoin.com is that the CoinSpice ethos here from the guys who brought me on is that we have to get to those people. We have to make the case up here that if you want this to spread, it's got to find its way to the people who need it the most. So, awesome. Matt, I told you half an hour. I've taken you way over that.
It's been a great conversation, man. And so we had technical difficulties in the first run, which happens, right? But I think this podcast turned out way better. I'm glad we did it twice because, I want to make a great podcast for the Milk community, man, or the CoinSpice community.
For sure. Get out to podcast.bitcoin.com, as I'm sure most of you have already at least had at least a passing familiarity with. It's a document. Matt has covered just when you think you know and you've heard from everybody, you go, who's that? And you click on a Humans of Bitcoin or, stay up to date with This Week in Bitcoin or Blockchain 2025 with the great Blake. On some of the more adventurous aspects of the space. Those are all fantastic shows, and I can't recommend the network enough. So, again, Matt, thanks so much for coming on, man, and maybe we'll check in a few months and see where you are.
My pleasure. I'd love to be back, man, and thank you, Kelso.